You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome along to the latest edition of the FWA podcast here with William Hill, ahead of the FA Cup quarterfinals this weekend. Dave Kellner in the studio, joined by football writer Amy Lawrence, author of Invincible and journalist for The Guardian as well. First of all, a warm welcome, a good afternoon to you, Amy.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
It's an interesting point at the moment as far as Arsene Wenger's concerned, Amy. And having written the Invincible book and being closely connected with Arsene Wenger, Amy, you must be very busy at the moment.
Yes, it is busy, because when you have, an area where you're considered to be have a bit of specialist eye, then the phone doesn't stop buzzing when you get something as traumatic as a 5-1 defeat, or, you know, obviously the league games haven't been going so well in addition. So it seems to be lurching from what seems like one crisis point to another. But what's really remarkable is when you see the man, and at his press conference this morning, if you thought he was going to look like a guy under pressure, you would be mistaken. He has a remarkable capacity to bounce back and find some sort of inner strength, just kind of forget about terrible things that have happened and look forwards. And he didn't seem to be overly perturbed about the situation, and looked quite relaxed, quite a lot of bonhomie. It was really quite impressive in its own way. So I think people who are putting bets on Arsene Wenger to leave maybe need to think twice.
Well, according to the betting, Amy, we've obviously got lots of markets surrounding Arsene Wenger at the moment. And for him to be manager of Arsenal on the first day of next Premier League season, no is 2-7, yes is 5-2. So the compilers, Amy, clearly expecting Arsene Wenger to leave after this season. What's your gut feeling?
My gut feeling, just based on the way he is behaving, and to be honest, my gut feeling for most of the season, even in difficult times, was that I think he would like to stay. And I think that there's no way that the board are going to withdraw their offer, because they, you know, they treat him with a kind of on a kind of pedestal where they will always offer him something, and it's really up to him to call the shots, which is quite an unusual situation for any manager. But that's what he has on the table, and I don't think that contract is going to get withdrawn. So it's down to him. And there have been moments where you've thought, how can he possibly carry on, you know, from what feels like very profound body blows? You know, it wasn't so long ago they weren't looking in a terrible position to maybe try and challenge Chelsea for the title. They had a terrible defeat at home to Watford, where if they'd have won that, they would have gone to Stamford Bridge with the possibility of, I think, reducing the gap at the top 6 points. But, you know, everyone knows what happens next. They got beat. Another body blow at Chelsea. They got beat at Anfield. And, of course, these two Champions League records combined defeat makes for difficult times. But there's something about Wenger there, though, and we've seen it before, where you think, how can he recover from this? How can he wake up and think, I can make this club super competitive again? But he thinks in a way that's quite different to everybody else, and I think he genuinely believes that he can get them back winning things again. So I would nudge slightly. I still think it's not a million miles from 50-50, but if I was pressed, I would say I would expect him to stay.
Yeah, I would as well. And I think the price here with William Hill, yes, for Arsene Wenger to be Arsenal manager on the first day of next Premier League season at 5-2 is quite a big price. He's had a falling out with, or seemingly had a falling out with, Alexis Sanchez, even though reports have been a little bit murky.
Yes.
And I suppose that's going to be crucial, isn't it? Because Sanchez has been talismanic for Arsenal recently.
Very much so. And I think if they lose him, there is a bigger picture, because Arsenal, you know, not so long ago when they first moved from Highbury to the Emirates and were dealing with that move and all the challenges that presented, found themselves losing players and their best players getting cherry-picked virtually every summer. They had a difficult time, whether it was Fabregas or Nasri or Van Persie. It was hard and it was difficult, particularly difficult for Wenger to take when he got these young players and developed them, and then saw them get taken away by the vultures and by the big money. Yeah. And then they managed to stop that trend and suddenly buy a few stars themselves in the likes of Alexis Sanchez and Mesut Ozil. So I think they tried to present an image that those days are gone. So it would be a bit of a body blow, I think, psychologically, to how they think about it as a club if the best player goes after 3 years. And I suppose the interesting thing would be if they do lose a player of Sanchez's stature, how on earth they go about replacing him, because those kind of players are not easy to find. And I think once you start looking beyond the sort of Messi-Ronaldo territory, Alexis Sanchez is on the next rung of the ladder. And there aren't that many of those, so it would be a really difficult one to try and fill that gap.
Let's talk about the FA Cup this weekend, quarterfinals. We'll get to Arsenal's game against Lincoln very shortly, but the weekend starts with Middlesbrough versus Manchester City at the Riverside. The latest betting here with William Hill: Middlesbrough 7-1 to win the match. The draw 7-2. Manchester City 4-9. City come into this on the back of that 0-0 draw midweek with Stoke, and they only had one shot on target in that match. Prior to that, they seemed to be getting their act together under Pep Guardiola, playing with a lot more fluency, Amy. How do you think Guardiola's settled in his first season at the club? I suppose he's going to make big changes in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think what's interesting is because of the esteem that Pep Guardiola has been held in, and, you know, I think particularly to an English audience, he represented something very, very alluring and very special because of his association with the great Barcelona team that he was involved with in particular. And then to go to Bayern Munich, albeit not succeed in Europe, but pretty much wipe up domestically, you know, all the time. There was an expectancy for him to be an instant hit. And I think it's been interesting and probably a learning process for him and for the players and for the club as a whole, that it wasn't like he walked in and flicked a switch and everything was magically amazing. He would have learned a lot about his players and his team. He would have probably learned a bit about himself and perhaps realised that going into the, you know, different league and a different culture of football is not necessarily as straightforward as you might think. You're transferring your ideas into a new place can take time. But I think this time next year, I imagine we'll be talking about and looking at a pretty different Manchester City. I think the sort of growing pains, if you like, of the first season, where perhaps it hasn't been as perfect as they think, will be ironed out. I mean, they can still finish this season on a pretty decent high with some silverware. And I'm sure they'll be really, really trying to win either the FA Cup or even in Europe. So there's still a lot to go for them. And they obviously would have got a massive lift from their amazing Champions League game not so long ago against Monaco. So I think City are still favourites to win most of their matches, even though they had a bit of a slip against Stoke.
Manchester City, do you think they'll win convincingly then at the Riverside, Amy?
I don't know about convincingly, but I would expect them to win.
Yeah, Manchester City 4-9 to win that game. Arsenal versus Lincoln then. This is live on William
Hill.
Yeah, William Hill TV, 5:30 kickoff this one. Arsenal very, very short in the betting. They're taking on a National League side, but Lincoln are doing well in the National League this season. 1-12 Arsenal, the draw 10-1, Lincoln 22-1. I think Arsene Wenger, he needs them. He doesn't just need a victory here, Amy. I think he needs it to be emphatic as well.
Do you know what? I'm not sure I agree with that. I think a bit like the Sutton game, any old how getting through is pretty much all that matters. You know, the nature of the scale of embarrassment if Arsenal can't beat Lincoln at home would be so ginormous. And that would probably make us have to reassess that question about whether Arsene Wenger will be manager at the start of next season. But I think that, you know, they just want to get through. I think Lincoln will be very fit, very organised. They've done fantastically well so far. Obviously, it would have been a slightly differently weighted situation if the game had been at Lincoln. I think that the fact that it's at the Emirates, you would have to fancy Arsenal to make sure that they see this one through.
What scoreline would you go for there, Amy?
Oh, no, I wouldn't go for a massive scoreline. I think maybe 3-1 or something. I think that Lincoln can get a goal. Arsenal's defence has had its wobbles, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And I think Arsenal have probably got enough about them to... I mean, I think usually Arsene Wenger picks a sort of mixed team for the FA Cup. So there'll probably be a few that he gives a rest to and a few that he wants to allow stretch their legs. But they're just... The problem for Arsenal is they've been so unsettled. So it's difficult to imagine who he picks and whether they're going to be in a great frame of mind. Having said that, if they can even begin to reproduce the quality they showed for the first half against Bayern Munich, you'd expect them to be quite comfortable winners. But it needed that big game for them to lift themselves and actually play some good football for the first time in quite a while. So I'm not sure they're going to necessarily be going out full of swagger and flourish. They just want to get through the game.
Arsenal to win 3-1 is 11-1. If you like Arsenal to win and both teams to score in the match, that's available at 17-10. On to Arsenal's rivals, Spurs at White Hart Lane take on Millwall in what should be an intense battle at the Lane. 2 p.m. kickoff on Sunday, this one. And Spurs are 2-11 to win it. The draw 6-1 with Millwall 14-1. Enhanced odds, Christian Eriksen to score and Spurs to win was 17-10. Now 2-1. Steve Morrison to score and Millwall to win was 28-1, now 40-1. A deal of the time, the narrative with Spurs in the Premier League is whether or not this is going to be the season they finish above Arsenal. I'm sure Spurs fans want more than that. They want silverware, they want regular Champions League football and to challenge for the title in due course as well. But they're looking good this season, Spurs, and this could be the year they do finish above Arsenal in the Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point you make there is quite an interesting one. And I imagine if you did a straw poll of Tottenham season ticket holders and said, what do you want? You can finish above Arsenal or you can win the FA Cup. What would they take? It might well be quite tight.
Yeah.
Quite a difficult decision. I'm probably not the best person to ask, but I'm sure either of them would go down extremely well, let's be honest. And I think if Tottenham can achieve either of those two things, they'll be extremely pleased with their season's work. Both is not that implausible either. The FA Cup, you know, I think the way that the draw's gone, you're looking at a very likely situation of four strong teams in the semi-finals. And if that's the case, then it's going to be a brave person who says, well, Team X is going to win, because you know that whoever they are, they're going to have two extremely hard games and hard opponents to overcome. But Tottenham will be right in fancying their chances against anybody left in the competition, because they've had some good results, you know, in recent years against Chelsea, for example, at certain times, and showed what they're made of. They have got to make that next step under Pochettino and try and win something to show a sort of something symbolic for their progress that they've made over the last few seasons. But I don't see why they won't be looking at this FA Cup and thinking this is the one that we can achieve.
Harry Kane is 11-5 to score the first goal in the game. He's 2-1 to get two or more. 15-2 to score a hat-trick as well. I got three hat-tricks in his last 10 games, I think, now, Harry Kane. It's important in the summer because I think the huge clubs will come calling for Harry Kane at some point, and it's important for Spurs that he doesn't get his head turned, I think, Amy, in the future, because they need him as a building block if they're going to achieve title success down the line.
Yeah, I mean, I think when he signed his new contract earlier on the season, that was a huge and important statement for Tottenham. Obviously, they've been doing lots of photographs of their signings, autographing updated contracts this season, and they're pleased about that because it's showing stability. But Harry Kane is the jewel in the crown, no dispute. He's the one they'd least like to lose, and he's probably the one who's most coveted elsewhere. I suspect that it's maybe something similar to the Gareth Bale situation, where it might take a European super club to really turn his head, because he does seem genuinely very happy at Tottenham. And I think that he'll feel that he's got a bit of time on his side. And the idea that he helps them over what will probably be quite a difficult period of transition when they leave White Hart Lane and you know, return after a season away, probably at Wembley. I think he seems like the kind of character that would want to be a part of that. I'm sure he could get more money than he's on already, like tomorrow, if he wanted. He could probably, even though he's got a new contract that's pretty handsomely paid, by the standards of top goal scorers in Europe, he still could probably command a much higher salary than that. So it might be something in the future where there are people coming along and trying to convince him that he should be playing somewhere else and earning somewhere else. But I think Harry Kane will stick around there for the next year or so, for sure.
The weekend finishes with Chelsea versus Manchester United, Amy. This is a Monday night kickoff. 7:45, Chelsea 17-20, the draw 5-2, Manchester United 100-30, and it's the return to Stamford Bridge for Jose Mourinho once again, and that's going to be making all the headlines here. But Chelsea, as far as league form is concerned, are way head and shoulders above Manchester United at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you get the feeling that what Chelsea have got that Man United are perhaps striving for is a really, really strong sense of team. At Man United, it still feels it's a little bit more about individuals, although I think they're making strides in the right direction. But Chelsea do look incredibly powerful and incredibly, you know, they can afford to be relaxed in the way that they play, which that's a real luxury for any team. When they get to that sort of vein of form where they can just, you know, relax and be in the zone and enjoy their football. Not having European football is obviously a help as well. And I'm sure that Jose Mourinho would have preferred anything but Rostov in the build-up to a big FA Cup game away against the best team in the league. It's not ideal preparation for them. But I think, I mean, this is the plum tie, and you wouldn't be amazed if Man United find some moments of individual magic. But probably if you'd expect Chelsea to shade it.
Yeah, Chelsea 17-20 to win the match. I think a lot of Manchester United's, or if they're going to have success in this game, it is surrounding Henrik Mkhitaryan, really, Amy, because Mkhitaryan, even though he had that slight altercation with Jose Mourinho early on in the season, I think he's got that X factor that Manchester United need.
Yeah, I mean, probably of the sort of stellar new signings that came in the summer, he was maybe, you know, third on the list behind Zlatan and Pogba, or Pogba and Zlatan, whichever way you want to put those two. Whether you judge them by ego or transfer fee, probably depends which way you put them. But, you know, he's a sensational player, and technically he is one of those that can turn a game in a millisecond. And he obviously needed some settling in time, but I think he's one of those who's just going to get more and more important for Man United. You know, perhaps the second season, you'll see even more from him.
Quick word on Paul Pogba just before we wrap up here, Amy. He's polarised opinion because I think a lot of the fans that they know how much Manchester United spent on him, obviously, up to £100 million, are questioning whether or not that was worth it because he's not producing 9 out of 10 performances every single week for Manchester United. Do you think it's a case of him just ingraining himself back with this Manchester United side?
I always find that when you're judging someone according to how much they cost, that's a bit of a tricky situation to be in, because it's all about circumstances. You know, any individual player, how much they cost is about how much someone's willing to pay and what kind of scenario they've got at their club. You know, he's still a relatively young player, and he has got fantastic swagger and ability and star quality in his locker. It's about getting that out on a more consistent basis. You know, he's had to get used to playing in a slightly different way to how he played at Juventus. And in a team that has been evolving over the season, and of course the team he was in at Juventus was pretty solid, really, and had been been settled for a while. So yeah. I think you have to give people a little bit of sack to be a human being with human frailties and not be able to be perfect all the time. And the fact that you cost a certain amount of money doesn't stop you from being a human being and maybe finding that not everything is absolutely sensational every single day, because life's not like that. I wouldn't judge him too strongly based on some erratic moments this season. I think if in another year or two you're not finding that he's dominating games week in, week out, people are probably entitled to be a bit more forthright in their views. But, you know, the fact that Zlatan was a free transfer, it could, how do you value that?
Yeah.
What Man United did and why they spent that money on Pogba and why they spent those wages on Zlatan is simple. They just needed to bring back huge personalities, big enough personalities to handle, you know, that stage at Old Trafford and that expectation. And they did a wonderful job in attracting those two players. I think almost any Premier League club would have been really happy with either or both of those. And Man United got them both. And put through a little bit of a myth to this idea that if you're not in the Champions League, oh, people aren't interested, top players aren't interested. Well, of course they are. But, I still think that he is a wonderful talent, but he has to find it in himself to be able to show that, you know, most of the time, which is the trick that you've got to try and pull off to be considered an all-time great.
Amy, thank you for your company on this podcast. Are you at the Emirates this weekend?
I will be, yes. I'm looking forward to seeing the noise that Lincoln and I expect they're going to make.
Arsenal 1-12 to win that match this weekend. Amy, thank you for your company.
Pleasure.
If you want to follow Amy on Twitter, please do at AmyLawrence71. You can follow myself at D Kellner. Check out all the odds on the William Hill website ahead of the FA Cup quarterfinals this weekend as well. And we'll be back with more on the FWA podcast next weekend.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.